thank you for the wonderful testimonies that we've heard this morning. Lord, you're working in every single person's life, whether they know it or not. The testimonies that we've heard today, they're aware of your goodness and your joy. But others that may have not had any great stories to tell, we know that you're working in their life as well, and you haven't forgotten any person in this sanctuary. Lord, you are mindful of all of us, and we invite you into our word to teach us today. All of us have something to learn from you, and we pray that you would give us a teachable spirit. Even though we may have heard some of these things before, it's good to be reminded how much you love us and just how important some things are to your heart that we need to be mindful of in the year coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we close 2020, I want to bring you my final message of the year. It's long been asserted by Bible scholars that the last things mentioned by the writers of the various books of the Bible are often the things that are closest to the heart of the writers. The things they mention last are what they really want their readers to remember and to take with them. This isn't to say that all they said that went before that was not important. It is important and always will be, especially in the Word of God. But the last things they write are sort of, well, hey, especially don't forget this. Kind of like a postscript, a PS at the end of the letter. Hey, don't forget this. Consider Paul's long goodbye in Colossians. Written, of course, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We know that the writers of the Bible were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're the Holy Scriptures. But after writing an incredibly deep and passionate letter to the Colossians, Paul mentions a few last things, almost like, hey, and by the way, especially don't forget this. We're going to read this quickly here. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Don't forget that, to treat people fairly. It's important. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, Paul writing, especially, I know we've talked about detail. Now, I'm portraying Paul right now, like in his postscript. I know we've talked about some deep things, but don't forget this. It's so important. So, meanwhile, keep praying earnestly in prayer. Pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, meaning outside the body of Christ, redeeming the time, making the most of your time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Again, these are great encouragements by Paul. Don't forget these. These are so important. I know we've talked about a lot of important stuff, but don't forget to do these things. So one gets the sense of Paul saying, this is really important. Well, in a like manner, as the year ends, I want to leave you with an important thing to keep in mind, not only through next year, but in every day that follows. It's a reminder, really. Hey, don't forget this. We've talked about a lot of stuff this year. But hey, don't forget this. This is important. The end of the year message is a reminder to forgive. To forgive. We need to be reminded to forgive. We've talked about a lot of things this year, haven't we? We just finished a long series on the end of days. We talked about offenses and those things. But remember to forgive. Remember to forgive. Whatever you do in 2021, remember to forgive. To forgive is maybe the most important thing we need to remember as we continue to be disciples of Jesus and grow more and more into His likeness. Really, that is our goal, isn't it? I have three reminders concerning forgiveness to share with you this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Verse 34. The first reminder today is that we need to forgive because Christ forgave. We are His disciples, and He has shown us what forgiveness should look like. We are to be imitators of Him. So Luke 23, verse 34. Now Jesus is heading towards the cross, the crucifixion. He is in the hands of the Roman soldiers. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and they cast lots. This statement by Christ is only found in the book of Luke, in the Gospels. I don't really know why exactly, but I could surmise that Luke, being a doctor, especially noted the cruelty inflicted upon Jesus by the Romans. He was stripped naked. This is our Savior. He was beaten. He was punched. He was spit on. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. He had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. And finally, he had both his hands and feet pierced with nails. The Romans were incredibly cruel people. And Luke was a doctor. Dr. Luke noted the cruelty of the Romans, but he noted especially the heart of Jesus to forgive. How could he forgive them of what they were doing? I believe that was going through Luke's mind as he wrote this, and he noted Christ's words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Luke made making the note of their brutality and yet Christ's forgiveness. Look, friends, Jesus above all people knew how important it is to forgive. Even for himself to forgive. Our Creator, our Maker, it was important for him to forgive. And he says, "God, forgive their ignorance." That was what he was implying in this prayer. If they really knew whom they were murdering, they would have never crucified me. Jesus understood that it was the sin in them instigating their actions. If we too can remember that people and their actions are manifestations of the sin inside them, it can be easier to forgive. It's hard for me to be mad at you when I know that it's the sin in you that's causing you to act this way. And when I can keep that in remembrance, I can have victory over unforgiveness and even anger. And so can you. Most of us have not had to experience what Jesus went through. Amen. But let me ask you this morning. Could you have forgiven these people if it had been you on the cross? Have you experienced some tough things at the hands of another that wasn't your fault? If Christ could forgive after what he went through, couldn't we do the same? Remembering that it wasn't the person, but the sin inside them. Christ even forgave you, and he forgave me. Shouldn't we also forgive? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Anybody who's ever had to forgive someone, it is not easy. It just doesn't come natural for us. But the essence of forgiveness is giving forward. You see the word in forgiveness? The word for, forward. You see, to forgive somebody, we have to give the offense forward to Christ himself. Giving forward an event or a perceived wrong done to us. To forgive, we must give forward to Christ Jesus. Robert Morris shared a story about when he had been wronged by another person. He was complaining to God about forgiving the person who had wronged him. Whining is what Robert Moore says. He was whining to God. "Why do I have to forgive them? You know what they did to me." And then God responded in that small voice, as he does to most of us. "Of course they wronged you. That's what forgiveness is. You don't forgive people who righted you. It makes so much sense, doesn't it? Of course we forgive people who wronged us. That's what forgiveness is. We got a good laugh when we first heard that story. So the first point is we forgive because Jesus forgave. The next reminder is that it is not optional to forgive. It's a command. Picture going to the stop signs out here. And there's just a general sign, you might want to slow down, but you don't have to. And everybody had that sign on all four corners. It would be a mess, wouldn't it? There needs to be a command. You need to stop. Forgiving others is not an optional, well, if you feel like it. It is a command by our Creator and our Lord. Look over in Matthew 6:15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'll read that again, just in case you thought there was a little wax in your ears there. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, in your Bibles, do you see those verses just before this verse? What do you call this? The Lord's Prayer. That's right. I don't think it's an accident that this verse follows the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I think it's very significant that this command is found right after the Lord's Prayer. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 9. Let's read down through verse 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now note these verses. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a blessing. Then verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can everyone say as we forgive our debtors? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why would the command to forgive others be given right after this prayer? I believe that God's blessings are tied up to our forgiveness of others. God wants to bless us. Does everybody know that? That God wants to bless you? He wants to bless us. But sometimes those blessings are prevented from coming by something we do. And that's not forgive. Let me show you. So look at verse 12. According to the Lord's Prayer, we have a lot of debts owed to God. We have a lot of debts. You see that in verse 12? And we don't have to pay these debts when we forgive others. Right? That's what it says right here. I'm not making this up. We don't have to pay those debts when we forgive others. Apparently, blessings are tied up in this command as well, because in verse 11, we're asking for a blessing of give us our daily bread. That's really our sustenance, the things we need to survive and to live on. When we forgive, it opens up doors to blessings of daily provision, as well as keeps us in God's perfect will. Right now, we are reading the will of God. Now, notice the word as. That's why I asked you to speak it up in verse 12. This is a Greek word of comparison, meaning as we do something, then he does it. As we do something, then he does it. Now, even though his blood has washed us and he has delivered us from his wrath and death, we also want his blessings while on earth, and we want him to hear our prayers. Think about this for just a moment. If forgiveness is God's will, we are understanding his will here. If forgiveness is God's will, then unforgiveness is out of his will, and it must be a sin. We know that the Latin root meaning of sin is to miss the mark. That's what it means. It's an old archery term. When we are not forgiving, we are missing the mark. God's mark is that we forgive. Missing the mark. Sinning is when we unforgive. David writes in Psalm 66:18, If I regard iniquity, which is, it's a constant sin, really it's a generational sin, and in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'll say it again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's talking about praying. The Lord will not hear his prayers. You see, sin blocks God from hearing our prayers. Did you know that? It is never the Lord's will that we are out of fellowship with him. He wants to bless us. He wants us to come to him for our daily bread. He is excited to give us our sustenance and will enthusiastically give it to us when we come to him. But we have to forgive. We have to forgive. I often hear the response by many when I explain the need to forgive somebody. We'll have the conversation. I'll see distinctively or intuitively in their life, like, wow, I think they have some unforgiveness issues in there. And I'll ask them, hey, is there anybody you need to forgive? And they'll say, no, I think I've forgiven everybody. And I'll lean in a little closer and I'll say, are you sure? Are you sure? What are some signs that we have not forgiven someone? Feel free to say ouch if this hit you in the rear side this morning, like it did me this week. The writer John McKinley gives us these observances concerning signs of unforgiveness in someone's life. Let me read these to you. One sign of unforgiveness is that we have distanced ourselves from the person who we perceived has wronged us. Instead of living in harmony and peace, we have said, I'm just not going to come around them. I'm just not going to be around them. I suppose this can be reasonable if someone has been really wronged and hurt. They don't want any further damage. But he writes, the silent treatment is far short of reconciliation. If you give somebody the silent treatment, you're harboring unforgiveness. It's really that easy. Despite what we may tell ourselves that we have forgiven them, and it's all okay now, the ongoing fracture and coldness in the relationship indicates that we have not forgiven the other person. Another sign that we have not reached forgiveness is that we continue to feel bitterness or frustration about the situation whenever we think about it. Or whenever the other person comes to mind, or we see them somewhere, when we see them, we become irritated. Maybe we're shopping at County Market and everything's fine as you're dumping in the chocolate chips in the basket and the pancake mix and just going down the aisle. And all of a sudden you see that person who you thought you had forgiven. And inside you boils up this cancerous feelings towards them. I'm telling you, you haven't forgiven them yet. So you go down the other aisle so they don't, you hope they don't see you. And by the way, they saw you. I'll just let you know that they saw you. The offense of their wrong against us remains unresolved. And so we carry this burden. Unfortunately, we get so familiar with carrying the burdens of our bitterness against others that we do not even realize we are doing it, writes McKinley. Like carrying rocks in our backpack that just seem our normal load in life. Eventually, the rocks become boulders. And the massive weight of unforgiveness puts stress on our bodies, which over time will cause even our bodies to break down. However, in many situations of perceived wrongs, perhaps the offending party didn't even have an idea that they offended or wronged you. They didn't even know. And thus they have not said that they were sorry. If they'll just come and say that I'm sorry, then I'll forgive them. They had no idea you were even mad at them. They don't know. Have you gone to them to explain how you felt when they did what they did or they said what they said that hurt you? Have you obeyed Christ's command as he says in Luke 17 verses 3 and 4? If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. really that rebuking is to tell them what they did wrong, how it is they hurt you. I tell you, as a pastor, inevitably there's something that I'll say or I'll do from up here that people just, they won't agree with, and they'll get mad, and I'll never see them again from church. I'll come up to them, and then if I'll run into them at County Market or wherever, and I say, hey, is there anything that I've done that has offended you or hurt you in some way? Because I want to make that right if I've done that. I say that to them. Sometimes they'll just say, nah, it's all good. Nah, we're good. But they continue to stay away from the church. They continue to avoid us if we see them around. They haven't forgiven. And I want to ask forgiveness. Y'all, if you think somebody has hurt you or said something to you and it just kind of wounded you to them, go to them and let them know. If they have Christ living in their heart, that grace will pour out and they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. Or maybe they'll say, okay, I did mean to do that. But you know what? I'm not mad anymore, and I'm really sorry for what I did. And there can be healing in that moment. And God is in those moments. The love of Christ is in those moments. And when there is, and Christ is in the middle, there can be healing and restoration. So he goes on to say, if we do not forgive, the wounds we sustain from a person that we think wronged us will continue to affect our future relationships, so that we will interact with others according to those damages. Hurt people live out lives with walls around them. And every time they're hurt, they stack another brick on top of it. And before long, they're in complete isolation. But if they let the Holy Spirit take those bricks down, and they deal with their hurt and their wounds the way God says to do it, essentially they're free from the prison that they've created themselves. It's so important to forgive. Finally, what if we can no longer talk with them, or the person who hurt us is no longer around or is unapproachable? Let's say they live in another country. They don't have a phone. You can't talk with them. And they certainly don't Zoom. What do? We give it to God. We declare forgiveness to that person, and we ask God to heal our heart and to heal their heart and to deal with them according to His justice. Remember, justice is His. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. When we hold a grudge against people, we are setting in judgment of people. And by the way, grudges don't give you stronger muscles. They make you weaker. You need to set down those offenses and those wounds at Christ's feet. You need to lay down your grudge. Carrying around a grudge, by the way, as a Christian, is ugly and it's petty. God's people shouldn't be carrying around grudges. Lay down your grudge. A grudge, and have you ever thought about this? The Lord is Lord over everything in our life, right? And that includes, He's Lord of our grudges. He's Lord of our wounds. They're His. They're not for us to carry around. He owns them, just like He owns every dollar in my wallet. He owns me. He owns all our stuff. We're just stewards of His stuff. When we said, Lord, You are my Lord. And that includes the wrongs. And that includes the hurt that we have suffered and the pain. They're not ours to carry around. They're God's. He owns them. Let's let Him have those grudges. Let's let Him have the unforgiveness and those wounds. You'll find that there is freedom. And where there's freedom, there's liberty. And there's peace as well in that. The third reminder is that we need to forgive ourselves as well. Guys, we all must make mistakes. We all have regrets. I've got a whole jar of them, but they belong to the Lord. They're not mine. Don't be so hard on yourself in 2021. In 1 John 1, 9, you can turn there if you like, or we'll have it on the screen. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe God when He says this? Does God really forgive us our sins when we confess them? We get into shaky ground when God says that He forgives us, but we don't forgive ourselves. Aren't we included in that verse? We imply by holding on to unforgiveness of ourselves that God is a liar. Because we are playing God. We know what His word should be, not what He said. Friends, if that's the case, that's not good. If you've been hard on yourself, maybe you've done something so terrible, nobody knows about it but you and God. You've asked Him for forgiveness, but the voice of the deceiver continues to whisper in your ear, hey, you're still guilty. That's right. That's what you tell the devil. You go, no, I'm not. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So devil, get away from me and quit lying to me. Quit speaking to me. Your breath stinks. Tired of smelling you close to my ear. Brothers and sisters, what's past is past. Each day brings a new future and a clean slate with God. Of course, there needs to be repentance. I mean, if you messed up, you got to repent before the Lord. But once we do and we ask God's forgiveness, that's me cleaning a board. And it's squeaky clean. That's our new day. Here's what the author writes in Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. And then in verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I can't tell you how many times I come in here in the morning and I'm praying in the morning. And I have to thank God that His mercies are new every morning. I'm so sorry what I did yesterday. Father, forgive me. But Lord, thank You for my clean slate this morning. He's got a clean slate for all of us. And it's got no smudges on it, by the way. It's completely clean. Don't let the devil tell you that it's still there, because it's not. And if God forgives us, then we must forgive ourselves. Quit allowing guilt and shame to hang over you when you've repented or really messed up. The devil, just rebuke him. I like what John said. No, he's not. Devil, you're not right. Get out of here and quit lying to me. We put our faith and trust. And by the way, when we agree with the enemy, when we've asked forgiveness, our slate is clean and the enemy comes and says, you're not really forgiven. And then we begin making agreements with him. Oh, I guess you're right. How could God forgive me of that? That was really bad. You're probably right, devil. It shows a lack of faith and trust in God's word. It's sin. Sin will hinder our prayers. When we make agreements with the enemy and believe his lies, it hinders our prayers because it hinders our faith. What is the fuel of our prayers? Faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we're making agreements with the devil, when we're doing something different than what God's word says, we're displaying a lack of faith. And that, brothers and sisters, it is not pleasing to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Taste and see that His ways are good. Forgive yourself. Believe God when He says that you're clean. So I'm going to conclude here today. Here's what I want you to carry into 2021. If you're hoping and praying for a miracle in 2021, Make sure that you have forgiven those who have wronged you. Ask the Holy Spirit if you're still holding unforgiveness towards someone. It could be anybody. You need to forgive them. Many people who work in deliverance ministry, does everyone know what deliverance ministry is? It's like somebody has a demon, they're oppressed, and they need free from maybe addictions or something like that, or they just need free from the imposing presence of the trespasser, a demonic spirit. That's what deliverance ministry helps set people free. They have reported that once forgiveness was given by a person, that demonic strongholds were often broken, the demons left, and deliverance occurred. But it didn't happen until forgiveness was given. There are also testimonies regarding healing. Once forgiveness was made, people experienced immediate healing. They had been praying for healing, fasting for it, begging God to heal them, and nothing. God, where are you? Why haven't you heard my prayers? But once forgiveness was given, then people received their healing. There are thousands and thousands of these testimonies. I'm not making this up. Forgiveness is so important. And we're going to end with this. Quit carrying around a grudge. If you've been wronged, get over it and give it to God. Give it forward, right? To forgive, we give it forward to God. God knows how important forgiveness is, and I believe that that's why He commands us to do it. He wants the best for us in this life as well as the next. And unforgiveness can steal your Christmas presents. It can steal your joy. It can steal everything that you hold close to you. But when you forgive, there is liberty. There is the presence of the Lord, and there is freedom. So here's the three things. We forgive as Christ forgave. You know, if you read in Acts in the birth of the church, you read a story about Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr. He knew what Christ had done. He had forgiven his Roman persecutors. So Stephen, imitating Jesus, as they were stoning him, said, God, forgive them. Forgive them. He was imitating his Lord. We need to do the same. The second is, forgive is an act of obedience. And with obedience, there is blessing. And the third is, forgive yourself, since Christ has forgiven you. If we can remember these things as we go into 2021 to become forgivers, we're going to have a prosperous year. And I don't necessarily mean with money, but I mean with the presence of God. With the presence of God. Amen? Let's stand and we'll pray.